Deluna Coffee has been fueling Florida and beyond since 2014, and now wake up war chant. Deluna Coffee is owned and operated by the Lemix family, Ed, Courtney, and their son, Brett. When not roasting the perfect coffee blends, these FSU diehards can be found tailgating near the Unconquered statue. Go and set your sights on their Lighthouse blend. Made of five different coffee origins, a combination of light and medium roasted beans creates this wonderful cup of premium coffee. Use the promo code WARCHANT15 for a 15% discount. Visit DelunaCoffee.com and check out their Facebook and Instagram.
From Tally to Cali,
it's time
to wake up!
Wake up! Wake up! Wake up!
WarChant.com is your ultimate Seminole sports source.
And this is Wake Up WarChant, fueled by Deluna Coffee.
Coffee's for closers only.
Now here's WarChant.com's Azon Hajivandi
and Corey Clark.
Wake up! What's up, everybody? It's Wake Up WarChant, fueled by Deluna Coffee. Go over to DelunaCoffee.com, explore their world of coffee. Scroll down about halfway down the page. You'll see the WarChant bundle. It's a WarChant tumbler, Wake Up WarChant branded, a 12-ounce bag of White Sands coffee, and one chocolate-covered sea salt caramel tin. These things absolutely magnifique, I think they would say in France. Make sure in the notes section when you put this in your cart, you put that you want it either coarse, maybe if you want to be a cold brew guy like your boy over here, or if you want it for a drip coffee maker. Otherwise, they're going to give you the whole bean, which you really can't go wrong with that either. Check it out, DelunaCoffee.com, WarChant.com, your ultimate Seminole sports source. Promo code is WarChant30. We talk a lot about, you know, the YouTube page, subscribing to that. It's important, but we still love the subscribers. There's plenty of value built into a subscription at warchant.com. A lot of these things that we're doing on YouTube is like companion stuff. You know, it's going to make the subscriber experience that much better. You still need to be a subscriber to get the full experience of warchant.com. Coming up later in the program, we'll talk to the newest member of our fantastic digital team, the warchant.com family, Jeff Cameron. You all know him. The Jeff Cameron Show is alive and well. Details of that later on the program. Cliff Notes, 1 to 3 p.m., 93.3 FM terrestrial in Tallahassee, but still available through podcasts and other avenues. And we'll also have, to start the show off, Ira's one-on-one with Mike Norvell, which was recorded at ACC kickoff. So if you're going to get mad at Ira for not asking him about the SEC expansion, none of that stuff happened when those two gentlemen sat down and talked about ball. Speaking of the expansion, on Tuesday, Florida State's outgoing university president, John Thrasher, released a statement that said, quote, "I want to be clear that persistent reports that Florida State has been in contact with the Southeastern Conference are untrue. We have had no communication with the SEC or any representative of the SEC." That's about as watertight, airtight of a denial possible. But there's a lot of people that think there's daylight built in there, there's wiggle, that maybe there actually is something going on. Those people are probably really cool to party with. So not knocking you, but I don't see it. Great column by Ira, though, on this whole sort of dilemma that Florida State finds themselves in. Check it out over on warchant.com. First, though, relax, sit back, and enjoy this one. This is Ira Schofield, managing editor of warchant.com, going one-on-one with Florida State University head football coach Mike Norvell.
One of the things that you've talked about is that you're a people person, and that's one of the things you like about recruiting. When things opened back up in June and you got to just go out and, well, I mean, I guess back to May, you were able to go out on the road and just see people besides just, you know, your staff. How did that remind you of how much you love that part of football?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you look back at May and, you know, the youth camps that we were able to do. And, you know, it was something special because you had basically second graders to eighth graders and just an opportunity to get out and coach and to invest in others and to see the gratitude of the communities. You know, for us to be able to put an example of the investment into those communities throughout the state was pretty special. And then, you know, with recruiting, you know, waiting, you know, since I've had the job, you know, we've made a very conscious effort to build the relationships. You know, we wanted to sign the 21 class with the best football players possible, guys that could come in and we knew that would be able to set the foundation. But with the 22 and 23 class, very intentional in building those relationships. You know, you know, it was unknown that we wouldn't get to have them on campus for 15 months, but you know, being able to invest that time, you know, getting to know who they were, sharing the vision of what we're trying to do, and then all of it coming to pass in June to get them on campus, and it was really special. It felt great. It was good to be able to get them around our players, so our players could also share, you know, the experiences of what they've seen in the program and the things that that's expected of them and the development of what we're doing, you know, in all phases. So that was a really refreshing for us and something that was well needed.
When you got into June and then you guys kick off right away with the Midnight Madness and then go to the Mega Camps and the Elite Camps, and it just seemed like it was a blur from the outside. Did you, after a month like that, do you sit back or do you take stock of how well you guys executed it, and how well did you feel like you guys executed that?
I mean, it's, you know, there was a plan, and you know, we talked about maximizing every moment that we had, and I think we were able to achieve that. But you know, not only do you sit back at the end of 27 days and say, all right, what did that look like? But we did that throughout the process as well. You know, we had the Midnight Madness event, and you were able to go through a few days through it and think, all right, well, what really was beneficial? What were the things that we liked? What were the things we didn't like from that? You know, being able to, you know, every day we had visitors on campus, so it was a constant flow, but being able to set aside that time to reflect on the good and some of the things that we want to continue to grow and develop in with those opportunities. So, you know, it was a lot of information, you know, things that that we're excited about, you know, being able to even improve here moving forward. But, you know, I thought it went really well.
You know, looking back to last year, it just seemed like, especially once camp got shut down, in the spring, it seemed like it was one obstacle after another. And I know you don't dwell on that, and your message is to be thinking about how you can fix things, not worry about the adversity you face. But it seems like lately you've been able to build some real momentum. Like, there haven't been quite as many, knock on wood, as many obstacles. And do you feel like the program's getting the traction you wanted to, that maybe was delayed a little bit early on?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it speaks to who we are. And, you know, as a staff, as an organization, you know, we're about the relationship. And, you know, being able to build the relationship, you know, with our players, you know, throughout the course of the last year, through highs, through lows, unexpected adversities that show up. I mean, there's some trust that's built. It's, you know, also the same thing is that you go through a year, 15 months of talking to young men and their families virtually and being able to paint a picture. And yes, you know, that serves a purpose, but there's nothing like being face to face. It's nothing like, you know, being able to feel, to watch a workout, to be around, you know, all the different departments together to see how well that they, you know, gel together and just that the culture that's established. And I think that's what has really, you know, kind of stood out. And, you know, I'm grateful that we were able to execute the month of June the way that we were, and excited about, you know, the things that are ahead. But, you know, it definitely got back to a little bit of normalcy that we've been hoping for.
You know, when it comes to roster turnover, you know, it's, I'm sure you want to, as a coach, you want to help every player and you want to impact every player and sometimes save every player. When they leave, I don't know if you feel like that's a failure somehow of the program or them or whatever. But now that you've got the guys that you do have, I mean, is it different just communicating? The meeting's different? Or because now you know that these are all – they've all been through it. They know what to expect. This is – they're here for a reason, and you
– I think we saw that even through the course of last year. You know, as I remember, you know, the last month of the season was one of the most challenging months that I've ever experienced, you know, with games being canceled and – you know, you had opt-outs, all those things that occur. But we went through that process, and it's something I remember telling the team, you know, even throughout the week of before Duke, that, you know, we were going out to practice and we had no opponent in front of us. But we had to face the greatest opponent that we have, and that's ourselves. And to see a team that embraced that, and then to be able to go and to finish up the year the way that we did, and, you know, to be able to grow from those experiences, it's, you know, those opportunities just they think they help gel us together. And now you bring in new faces and some newcomers that have the collegiate experience that they've had, and, you know, the leaders that they are. And but everybody understands the standard, and all of our guys have said yes. They've said yes to coming here. They've said yes to staying here. I don't want to lose any player. But at the end of the day, we have a standard of how we're going to operate and what we're going to do. And, you know, it's not easy. You know, we challenge guys. And I tell every recruit that comes in, you know, you come to this program, you're going to work. I mean, you're going to be pushed to be the best version of you on the field, off the field, in the classroom, because that's how you sustain success. And you know, everybody's gonna have a different personality, but the mindset and the approach has to be the same. And that's what I'm excited about that we've been able to attract here.
Some of the recruits have mentioned that you'll say to them, basically explain to them why they may not want to come to Florida State if they're not ready for those expectations. Does that always work? And if it doesn't work, you know, if it doesn't resonate with a player, do you feel good that at least you cleared it ahead of time?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're looking for the best fit for Florida State. And that is the ultimate objective. I mean, there's a lot of guys that have a certain height, a certain weight, a certain speed, you know, maybe even playmaking ability that, at the end of the day might not be the right fit for what we do and what, you know, we're looking for. But I think that we've attracted the right guys. And I think that the thing that we've experienced is that we can get an incredibly talented young man that wants to be a part of that process, that wants to be a part of it all. And, you know, that's where teams develop. That's where that continuity, that culture is able to be established and to be able to be sustained. And the greatest program to ever show that in that style is Florida State. With Coach Bowden, all those great teams. That's why they were able to sustain the success that they did, because you had a football team that was built off work and relationship. And those relationships weren't always, weren't a whole lot of fun with, you know, Coach Andrews and some of the guys and the way that was done, but they knew that they were cared for. They knew that there was a standard. They were going to be held accountable. And, we just want what's best for all of our players, you know, in every phase of their lives.
Coach Atkins, when I talked to him before the spring, he talked about getting to a place where the players care for each other in a way that they're happy if other teammates do well, whether or not they're doing well. When did you feel like you started to see that in this program?
You know, I think through the competition, through the experiences. I mean, that we're having. Guys know that if they maybe they're not investing the way they need to, and if there's a mistake here, a mistake there, or things that are showing up that are not to the level of how they want to operate, no, it's their choice to be able to get it fixed. And the competition with their teammates, I mean, we're all trying to push each other. We're all trying to help elevate ourselves to be the best that we can be, and then hopefully that's going to encourage others to do the same. And we're not totally there yet. I mean, we're still a work in progress in regards to the day-to-day consistency of that operation. But there's no doubt that we're heading in the right direction. And we've got fall camp coming up. It's going to be a great experience for us. But still got a lot of work to do.
When you bring in transfers, as many transfers as you guys have brought in the last 2 years, do you have to speed up the process in terms of learning them and like what makes them tick, and how do you handle that?
And, it's all about the investment of time and building relationships, and so that's something that we take pride in as a coaching staff. And and it's one of the things that the willingness of the transfer that comes in to be able to do that with their teammates and with their coaches, it's big. And I think like Jamie Robinson, his very first workout here at Florida State, it was a challenging one. He jumped right into a tour of duty, and I mean, I remember seeing it halfway through it, and it's like, this is a pivotal moment. It's my first time to ever get to coach him. And I just encouraged him in the moment that I brought him here, because I know that he can. And a simple statement, but it was a belief in him for that, yes, through adversity, through a moment of challenge, that you have somebody that's going to support him but push him to where that he can go. And that was an event that is going to make an impact, but it's got to be that consistent impact throughout. And it's the same way with all of our players, and that's the great thing about my job and the opportunity to lead this program with the coaches that we have, is that we've got to help push our guys to that level, and we got to do that for ourselves.
I'm sure guys aren't where they want to be or where you need them to be yet physically, but how much better is the team physically overall compared to a year ago coming
up? It's remarkable. I mean, Coach Storms and the job that him and his staff have done is incredible. I mean, the physical changes in our body, the numbers in the weight room of what our guys are able to do. I'm grateful for our players for the commitment that they've put in to the work that they've been willing to invest to make that happen. So it is I'm excited, and even with some of the newcomers that have come in, and you see the gains that they've made throughout the course of just a month and a half. I mean, it's pretty special. But that's what this program's all about. It's about the physical development, the mental development, and then helping put a guys in the best position there on game day.
And you made some changes, some additions to your support staff during this offseason. Were you targeting specific people or filling holes? How did you approach that process?
Finding the best fits for Florida State of who we are and what we're about, finding like-minded individuals like we talked about of what we evaluate with players. The same goes with staff. Being able to get a guy like Randy Shannon, unbelievable coach, great person, to be able to come in a support staff role to help just assist our staff and to kind of give us a different perspective, but also be able to introduce new relationships and to be able to send that message into different parts of the state and, with the relationships that he has of who we are and what we're about. As, Ryan Bartow has done a great job for us as a director of high school relations, being able to hire Kenyatta Watson coming in, some of the quality control coaches that we've been able to bring in. These guys are relationship-based. They not only are about impacting the lives of the student-athletes, but also, building up the guys that they get to work with each and every day, and excited about the direction we're heading in our support staff roles as well.
I know you're a guy that gets excited about everything, but just how excited are you about opening camp and just seeing these guys, all the work they put on, start to pay off?
It's what we do it for, and it's about those experiences and the way that that we're going to push and the opportunity for our guys to be able to achieve success and achieve failure on any given day and any given practice. But the thing that I'm looking for is a response, the consistency of that work, the consistency of elevating those that are around them, and that's what is going to help put us in the best position as we get into this season to achieve that success. And I'm not going to put any limits to what this team can accomplish. I know we're going to have to win a lot of close games, and it's going to come down to those little things. It's going to come down to the consistency of all of those actions. But I believe how we do things is going to put us in the best position to be able to make that happen, and definitely looking forward to the process of it.
Awesome. Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510, he's declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Just when you thought the chicken sandwich war was over, it's coming back in a big way with Zaxby's new signature sandwich. It's a double hand-breaded filet, split top bun, three zesty pickles, and if that wasn't enough, it's smothered in Zax sauce or new spicy Zax sauce. That's right, it's such a big deal, we made a totally new sauce to give it the kick it deserves. The other guys won't know what hit them. The new Zaxby's signature sandwich. Have you tried it yet?
And don't forget to listen in for the Zaxby's Indescribably Good Player of the Week every Monday on Wake Up War Chant.
Welcome back, everybody. Dare I say good afternoon and welcome, because we have Jeff Cameron here, the newest member of the WarChant.com family with us. Jeff, bulletproof in my book, the two maybe most important watershed things he's been right on, that was the mismanagement of this program in the early aughts by the architect of this program, who we all love. Jeff had a lot of moxie to be able to call it out, and then him being able to go on ESPN and alleviate all of our fears that our Heisman-winning quarterback was not going to get charged after all. So you've always been a harbinger of good news for me in my world, Jeff Cameron. How are you, man?
I've never been better, Aslan. It is good to be here. I'm glad I'm 2 for 2 with you. Probably not that high a percentage with everybody out there, but that's okay. That's all right. You're right. I got two big ones right.
You're all right.
Were
I'm
those
here.
The last two.
I'm here to provide cover for you, Jeff. I will always be the least liked member of the posse whenever we're rolling out somewhere. So enjoy yourself now.
What did you ask, Corey?
I was asking if those were the last two things you were right about.
Oh.
Mm.
Ooh, a shot. Shots
that.
Fired. You can,
early.
You can tell
early.
That little territorial. I feel like Aslan and I have built the War Chant brand podcast up, the YouTube channel. And now here comes Mr. Superstar. Here comes Durant just joining the Warriors when they're already a great program, a great team. That's where I'm at, Aslan. Hopefully you can talk me down and explain to me why Jeff Cameron coming over is such a big move for War Chant.
Well, because we're trying to create a dynasty, Corey.
There we go.
And at this point, you know, you might as well bring in another Hall of Famer that only adds to the depth of talent. War Chant might overwhelm all involved in this game and win back-to-back-to-back-to-back titles with the addition of myself and Tom Lang. I really don't know how it's possible we could lose.
In all seriousness, we've talked about this before, but this is an enormous move for War Chant. It's an enormous move for the future of the company, clearly. But just the way that media is changing, I don't think when, you know, I think Ira came over. If you think about the dominoes that fell with Gene, obviously Ira was a big one, a very big one in the summer of 2014. Then you get Superstar Clark in the fall of 17. Aslan shortly thereafter. I'm not saying Aslan was a throw-in. He just wasn't as well known in the arena. He wasn't as well known in the community, at Florida State community, that Ira and I and Jeff are, and Tom. But now when you throw in Jeff and Tom, it really is. I think what Gene's done and what we're all very excited about is what it's going to do for the future of the company multimedia wise. Because I don't know in 14 that Gene or anybody was really thinking about YouTube videos and podcasts. But it's a huge deal now, and I think it just only helps the brand grow.
I agree, and I'll elaborate on that here in a second. But I will say the other night I was watching Alabama and Georgia in the national championship game, and there's a moment right after it happens. Sorry, Corey. Happens where, you know, the media races onto the field, and Alabama is celebrating yet another national championship after Tua's great pass. And there's Aslan on a knee working his ass off getting this interview on the field. I paused it, said, kids, come in here. I'm going to be working with that guy. Look at how hard he's working right
here.
Who are you interviewing?
Calvin Ridley, your boy, Calvin Ridley.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. C-Rids.
Yeah, nice. So that's the kind of – that's the talent that Aslan has, whether he was known in this market or not. That's who he is. He's out there working national championships all over the place and getting stories and getting interviews 30 seconds after the game ends at midfield. So
for sure.
I think that's a big deal.
A huge deal. And Aslan, I would never impugn who you are as an employee. You've been a great addition to War Chant. I was just saying maybe you weren't quite you weren't the free agent signing that Ira and Jeff were.
Oh, I get it.
But I think with you thrown in there, I keep saying that as almost like you're the player to be named later. you in the mix with Tom, it really is exciting because we got two guys that can do video, they can edit, they can do pod, they can produce, along with, and then when you throw in Austin, he's our new guy. He hasn't been on the podcast. Has he been on the podcast, Aslan?
He has not, but he made a video debut with the top openers.
That's right. But it's the biggest staff that War Chant has ever had, clearly, but I would... And I'm not just saying this because I'm a part of it, although that's a big deal. But when you look around the college football landscape, I don't know if there's another company that a college football specific college athletics website that has that can do as many things as War Chant can do now. That's a really exciting thing. And all kidding aside, that's why I was really, you know, Jeff and I talked a good number of times in the lead up to this. And we were just, you could tell when Jeff and I talked about it, how excited we both were about the possibilities of what we can do and what this company can be. And it was already a great company.
I agree. And I do think that versatility and the ability to do a number of things. This company now features a lot of really multi-talented people. I'm excited to work with everybody. And that's not false modesty or anything like that. Look, I've worked hard to create, I guess in the modern parlance, a brand. I've worked hard to try to establish myself with some credibility covering Florida State college athletics in general. But to join a bunch of guys that all do it really well and that all have unique skills but can do multiple things means that we have the opportunity to probably cover, like, if you think about the climb and what Mike Norvell and his staff are attempting to do, and they've just scratched the surface with this great offseason in recruiting. But our ability to kind of cover and document this from every angle, I'm pumped about that. I'm excited about that. I'm excited to see the work we're going to do because, again, I trust everybody that's on board with this. I wouldn't have come on board otherwise. I think this is a very talented lineup, and it's got a lot of depth because you've got young people who are working their way up in this company, but you also have established people with background knowledge of this program, of this university, its history, the people involved, everything that's led to this point. So we have an opportunity from top to bottom to really do good work.
I mean, we're going to be the digital Longhorn Network, and no offense to the non-revenue generating sports, but we're going to give the people what they want, and that's really heavy coverage on football, and then when basketball season rolls around, obviously we'll pivot to that, baseball when need be. But, I mean, just fill in the gaps for me here on either Corey or Jeff. But basically, so Monday through Friday, Jeff's still rolling, Tom's back, the band is back together, daily show, terrestrial radio, that'll also be streamed here on our YouTube channel. We'll do the podcast in the mornings, and then we've got War Chant Report going on during the week, all the other stuff that we'll be working on, Tom's going to be spearheading. Then you've got your pregame show that Jeff's been doing for years with Tom. That's making its return. We'll be at the game, Ira, Corey, myself, Austin. Postgame show, Tom and Gene. Corey and Ira wrapping things up for you. Sunday, Ira, Jeff talking maybe more broader picture with the entire college football universe. And I know you've mentioned this in conversation with Gene, Corey, but the fact of so many different opinions, so many different backgrounds, just sort of back to back to back. I mean, within 48 hours of a 24 hours of Florida State football game happening, you're going to get every angle conceivable. And now we're just that much more strengthened with Jeff being on board.
Well, yeah, and you failed to mention the crown jewel.
Well, headlines. I'm sorry.
Seminal headlines.
I'm sorry,
the crown jewel. We didn't necessarily bring Jeff on to just talk about how great and awesome War Chant is, but it is now, and it always was, but it is even more so. But, like, when you think about, like, the Sunday of the Notre Dame game, so Sunday night, let's do another, like, the Saturday Wake Forest. Sunday's different because Labor Day and it's a Sunday game, yeah. But normally there will be a Saturday game. Aslan just laid down everything that we'll do pregame and postgame that will be on our YouTube channel that will also be on the site. Clearly you need to subscribe to that and subscribe to the YouTube channel. And then, you have Gene and Tom doing the post game. You have Jeff and Ira the next day. Then you have Aslan and I 5 days a week in the morning version of War Chant on the podcast goes up. And then Jeff and Tom every day as well. I mean, if you're a Florida State fan, you what else are you looking for? It's just going to be – plus all the videos, all the stories we're going to be writing, all the columns that Ira and I will be writing and Gene – it's just, yeah, we're flooding the market with what I think will be really good content.
I also note that today was a day that we went over with our terrestrial radio partners at 93.3 FM in Tallahassee. If you're listening to this or you subscribe to this and listen to Wake Up War Chant every day, locally, the Jeff Cameron Show, Seminole Headlines, it's all going to be on 93.3 FM in addition to warchant.com on the YouTube channel and the podcast. And we were setting up the studio today, Corey, for you and Ira to come in for the three of us to be in the actual same room. Where do you see the digs, dude? It's really good. We got cameras set up everywhere. We're going to make sure we strategically place one to get Ira's bald spot. What an opportunity here to really showcase all that we are.
And so Jeff, your show, for the people that don't know, it starts give us the rundown of when it starts and when you're on, and yeah. you know, if there'll be any differences at all between what you've been doing and what everybody's known for the last 20 years and what you'll be doing with us.
Yeah. Okay. So the show is moving from 3 hours to 2 hours. It's going to be in the middle of the afternoon. So just around lunchtime, 1 o'clock, from 1 to 3 PM. We're live Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Tuesday is reserved for Seminole Headlines. So I'm on that as well, of course. So it's me, Corey, and Ira on Tuesdays from 1 to 3 live. You can watch those shows just as you can this one on War Chant TV. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Like and do all the things that you're supposed to do to make sure you get that. The podcast will be whatever RSS feed you're using right now to get my show, you'll be able to get it still. It will populate for you if you're subscribed, but it'll be 1 to 3. You know, the reason we did that, just to give some background, basically when this all started, we were talking about moving time slots. And the reason being is that morning drive and afternoon drive are not the be-all, end-all as they once were with the ability to listen to most of what we want a la carte. Most people listen to podcasts or they watch TV shows when they want to, unless it's a live sporting event. So those drive time hours, they're still important, but they weren't the be-all, end-all. So when we realized we could move around, it gave us more opportunity to kind of strategically place other programming for the local people here. But also, it gave me a chance to go to practice each day, come off the practice field, go straight to the studio. You guys will have already done Wake Up War Chant. We will then have watched practice, and Tom and I will go on the air and give a follow-up to that. And then you guys obviously will have a chance to react the next morning with Wake Up War Chant. So we're going to have it covered, like I said, all day, every day. And then, of course, game weekends, we're all going to be there. It'll be a War Chant party on Saturdays because we got the pregame show, 9 to 11 a.m. every Saturday. We're going to run counter to College Game Day on ESPN. For people who don't want to hear them prattling on about the SEC, they can just tune in to Tom and I doing the pregame show, previewing Florida State's matchup. We'll take a look around the country as well. And then, of course, they've got the postgame, Gene and Tom do. And then, obviously, Corey, and as Aslan just pointed out, you and Ira will do a wrap from the field. But we'll all be there on game day covering this. I can't wait. I don't know. It's almost too much, but that's a good thing.
Didn't we just prattle on about the SEC talking about War Chant? Are we not the SEC of college sports coverage? Did we not just add Texas and OU with these two guys?
I think we did.
I think the difference, though, is we don't have any Vanderbilts or Arkansas.
Okay.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, right. We're all LSU, Bama, Georgia, Texas, Oklahoma. You know, we're all big times. It's not like we're having to, you know, there's a couple people in this company that you'd say, oh, well, we can't really do without them. You know, we're all vital. So that's what I think the difference is. But yes, I mean, we are a juggernaut. It definitely, it means more to Gene than it does to anybody else.
Jeff, you can lay it out for us here. I don't want to give you that whole generic, what do you think about the football team this upcoming season? But the people that are listening to this want to know your thoughts on it. They obviously listen to your show. Let's probably help generate some new listeners to the show. What are you hoping to see Saturday, I guess, when practice starts? What are the things you're going to ask Ira when he's on your show that following Monday? Where's your level of optimism for this program right now?
Well, if we take a step back and look at the big picture about where the program's headed, I think this was a really important offseason because it was the very first time that we got to see Mike Norvell and this staff being able to communicate in person with those that they're trying to recruit. And obviously, that's vital because Florida State just came off a 3-win season in a COVID year, which it's hard to decide what that 3-win season really means in the big picture. But what we all know is that this team is lacking talent. And this coaching staff had to show me this offseason, and I think show the fan base, it's not about me, but show the fan base that, okay, you can recruit at a pretty high level. Can you recruit this state? Can you recruit the Southeast, the fertile grounds of the Southeast where all the talent seems to come from, or the vast majority of it? Because there were real question marks about this staff as he put it together, not in their coaching acumen or their success stories in the past or their ability to teach the game, but really to be able to recruit the better players needed for Florida State to get back to where they want to be. And I think this offseason was huge for that. So big picture, I'm buoyed by what this offseason has been. In the short term, though, we were out there, guys, during spring football. And if we're going to be honest with our listeners and our readers, we owe it to them to say, this is not a very talented football team. Will they be better than they were a year ago? I think absolutely that's a true statement. They probably are going to get better quarterback play. I think they're going to be better just because they will have time to have implemented their schemes and connect with the players. I did see a more physical team on defense, but I did not see an explosive team on either side of the ball. I did not see a team that is going to consistently be able to light up the scoreboard and beat the better teams in this league. And I didn't see a team that's going to dominate the line of scrimmage. So I think in that sense, in the short term, I'm hoping to see a 6-6 season. But within that 6-6 season, you got to show me that you can fight and compete in these games, even against teams that are slightly favored against you. You know, you have some 50-50 games or some 55-45 games where you feel like, okay, you got to be in those games. You can't get blown out by Louisville as they did a year ago. You can't have the games where, you know, obviously you're a 7-point underdog and you end up losing by 50. You can't have those kinds of games. We got to see a huge step forward in that regard. And then I think 6-6 would feel like a success.
I mean, look, Aslan, I feel like Jeff, if he's going to just be excited and talk down about the program, he could have stayed at 97.9. Like, I don't know what's going on. We're trying to sell hope here, man. We're trying to sell optimism. And you're like, hey, if everything breaks well, they could be 6-6, but they're not real talented. No, that's absolutely true. I think Aslan and I would both agree with that. I think, you know, like we've talked about on headlines and you've talked about on your show and we've talked about here ad nauseum, if things could break right, if things break a certain way and you get a position group to really step up, or if Milton has a really good year, looks like the Milton of 2017 or 18, then yeah, you can squint real hard and figure out a way to get to 8 wins, right?
Yeah. Something out of the norm happens with those guys. I mean, not that it's not possible, it's just not probable. But yeah, these are possibilities, you know?
Yeah, I think that 8's about the far reaches of what they could do. Again, I'm not trying to be a pessimist because I'm actually very optimistic about where this is headed because of what I just described with their ability to recruit and connect with kids. The fact that you could win 3 games on the heels of the seasons that Florida State had preceding last year, and get a Hunter and get an A.J. Duffy and get, you know, what they've been able to do with 6 offensive line commitments at this point, yeah. I think it'll end up being 7, maybe 8. I mean, that's remarkable. So Coach Adkins and that staff are doing an amazing job. So I do think that they're going to raise the floor pretty quickly here of what's possible. It's just that you can't snap your fingers because you want it to be so, and that this all turns around this year. Again, this is all the result of a downward spiral that they're still trying to fight their way out of, and it doesn't happen overnight. You got to get the players in here.
Jeff, can you, before we let you go, I wanted to ask, like, if, because I feel like, what would you say, Aslan, 95% of the people that listen to us certainly know who Jeff is, and probably a very good percentage of them listen to him or have listened to him in the past and know about him. But can you, because I wrote that story when I was at the Democrat a few years ago how you started. And I think it's a really interesting story because it's got Rick Ballew in there. I think Tom Block is involved.
I would tell – hey, Corey, let me interrupt you. It was a great story. It was you interjected humor, but you also had – you had a thorough vetting of Sports Talk Radio in Tallahassee. And I would just encourage people, readers, to go find that story. You wrote it for the Democrat at the time, in which you kind of – arrived at how we are where we are, basically. And at that time, you were talking about my afternoon show, but you got us there. You took us all the way from when I was a student at Florida State to listening to Rick Ballew, who got a job because of Tom Block. And then later on, you know, I'm working with those guys and Eric Llewellyn. And it's crazy. It's a thorough vetting of how Sports Talk got to where it was in Tallahassee.
So that's what I wanted to say. I wasn't saying like, hey, pat me on the back. You remember that awesome story I wrote? I meant like your story to become what you've become is a unique one. I'm not going to say you fell into it, but it was a unique set of circumstances for you to know someone, to even get a chance to do it in a capital city. So if you could, because again, I think everybody knows who you are, but maybe not everybody knows the origin story. Me growing up a Florida State fan, and they know all know about Aslan, but you joining, like if you could give the Cliff's Notes, I don't know, 90-second, 2-minute version of how you ended up being the sports talk show in Tallahassee.
Okay, well, I went away to play football at East Tennessee State out of high school. I got hurt immediately.
It was between East Tennessee State and Florida State, and you chose East Tennessee State because of more playing time? Is that right? Am I remembering that correctly?
I should let you write that story again. yeah. No, not quite. It was like East Tennessee State, Western Kentucky, William and Mary, and a couple of other really even smaller
Lenore
schools
Ryan.
Than that.
Maybe a little Lenore Ryan in there?
Yeah, Lenore Ryan. Yeah, right. Yeah, Lees McCray.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. So it was, yeah, not, they weren't all knocking down my door. there were some guys who thought that I could maybe get in there and play some special teams. So I got hurt and I had surgery when I was in Johnson City. And I knew at that point, like, look, what are we doing? You know, when you get hurt, you have to really kind of come to grips with what's the long-term play here. And I think it was a smack across the face about not playing football in the future and not making it to the NFL and all that good stuff. So, okay, there's my football background. And I played everything in high school and I love sports, just like everybody that works for War Chanter is listening to this and all that good stuff. But my dad, had, just like your dad, Corey, had been taking me to Florida State games since the late 70s, early 80s. So I'd always gone to Florida State games. I come from a kind of a weird family. We would say it's a mixed family. My stepdad's a UF law grad. He would take me to Florida games. My dad would take me to Florida State games. So I got to see really those two programs build to their eventual dynasties or domination. Florida State, a better dynasty, obviously, than Florida. But like I saw all that happen, and I thought someday if I could ever work in sports, I told this story recently. I was over at Dick Houser Stadium doing homework, and I used to love Florida State baseball, still do. And I was thinking to myself, man, when I get out of school, I wonder, like, what am I going to do? At that time, I was a counselor for ACHS, Appalachian Center for Human Services. I worked with kids, and I thought about coaching. But, you know, I also thought, you know, you could continue on down this path, but I had to get a master's degree and I didn't want to get a master's degree. I was sick of school. I wasn't a great student because I was so distracted and I wasn't a very responsible and mature person when I was in college. So I didn't want to stay in school and get a master's. So I thought, what do I do? And a buddy of mine said, you know, you should do sports talk radio. You're opinionated. The guy was really nice and he said a bunch of nice things about me. He said, you're funny. You got a good voice. You should give it a try. Because at that time, sports talk radio in the early 90s and the mid 90s was starting to build up to something. It was becoming big, partly because of guys like Jim Rome and, I think it was Tony Kornheiser was not Tony Kornheiser, the other Tony Bruno and other guys like that were doing stuff. And so I had never really thought about it. But I went and tried out for this small station outside of Tallahassee called 1580 WTCL. They hired me. I'm going to really fast forward here. I got hired. I didn't think I would. They wanted me to cover local high school sports. I ended up doing a one-hour-a-day show. I walked into Lee Bowen, the former play-by-play announcer for Florida State Baseball's office at Clear Channel, and said, you don't know me from Adam. Here's my tape. I feel like I could do this. I just need a shot in a bigger market. And, of course, I was living in Tallahassee and driving 45 minutes outside of town every day to this tiny little station. And long story short, I got a shot, and I started doing mornings. He saw something in me. He loved my energy. And he got back to me, and basically I worked, this is a true story. I worked for free for over a year, which is illegal. But they were like, Hey kid, just go sell your own show. And I didn't know how to do that, but you learn pretty quickly when you're starving to death. And so anyhow, I started doing that. I also learned how to kind of cut my teeth and make mistakes and how not to talk yourself into a corner. And I'll always be thankful to guys like Tom Block and guys like Rick Ballew, who really encouraged me, later on, Eric Llewellyn. And then from there, I just kind of, you know, I figured out a way to do it, and I fell in love with it, and I had a passion for it, and I thought, this is what I'm supposed to do. And I've been very fortunate, thanks to the listeners and some people that I've worked with over the years who are uber talented and always kind. So I've been able to stay in the field and do this for 20 plus years, and I do stuff for SiriusXM, and I've been able to cover everything from the Super Bowl to the World Series to the Stanley Cup playoffs to obviously multiple national championships for Florida State. It's been awesome.
Jeff Cameron, now part of the WarChant.com family, but is how do you call his self-name show? Eponymous? What's the word for that?
Yeah, eponymous.
There we go. Terrestrial radio show still rocking and rolling on 93.3, which, as you know, Jeff, back home in the Tampa Bay area was the Power Pig at one
point. Power Pig, yeah. That was a disgraceful station.
So again, so you're going 1-3 on 93.3 Terrestrial Radio in Tallahassee,
yeah.
And you're also going to be podcasting and all that good stuff as well, right?
Yeah, I'll be on War Chant TV every day. You guys can get the podcast as well. And then, of course, if you want to stream it or listen to it live, you'll be able to do that too. So fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you view me, I'll be everywhere.
And when does it start? When's your first?
Monday. This upcoming Monday the 9th.
All right. There we go. Nailed it all. Jeff, this is going to be pretty fun. It's going to be pretty fun, especially when they start winning football games again.
Yeah, I think so. And I look forward to working with all you guys. And, you know, Corey and I and everybody on this staff, is we love to, you know, pull each other's leg and joke about and everything like this. But I really am excited. I know and love almost everybody there. And and it's going to be great to work with everybody. So I look forward to it.
Thanks again to Jeff. That's a wrap for the program. I think it's a wrap for us for the week as well. But do stay connected to warchant.com. Friday, there will be a media luncheon with all the assistant coaches as well as Norvell. We will be there. There will be a press conference to start things off. We'll have full coverage of that. We'll upload it. We'll maybe even make it a podcast, maybe midday Friday if you want to listen to it on your way home. Otherwise, practice starts Saturday. We are going to be able to view it. We are going to be able to film a brief portion of it at the beginning. We'll have cameras everywhere. They'll let us have cameras for as long as they'll let us have cameras out there. And we'll turn around and put it all up on the YouTube page and obviously up on warchant.com. So we just about made it, y'all. Thanks for hanging in there with us. It's been great this offseason, but I know we all want to talk about football and actual things that we're witnessing and not postulate and pontificate. So with that, hopefully we'll talk to you folks on Monday. Have a great one. For Corey, I'm Aslan. You've been listening to Wake Up War Chant, fueled by DeLuna Coffee. Come explore our world of coffee. DeLuna Coffee features over 24 different blends. DeLuna's unique roasts can be delivered ground finely for drip coffee makers, coarse for the craft crowd, untouched as a whole bean, or even in convenient K-cups. Founded in 2014 by the Lemix family, Ed and Brett are FSU alums and boosters who are extending a special offer to all listeners. Use the promo code WARCHANT15 for a 15% discount. Visit DeLunaCoffee.com and check out their Facebook and Instagram.